Welcome to Pondus Computer Repair Podcast, episode number 248, Stress, Strain, and Anxiety. I'm your host, Jeff Halish. This is our live call-in show for computer repair techs. We answer your questions on running and operating your computer repair business. Call-in number is 1-888-697-0162. Let me introduce the co-hosts. We have Brad Torrey from TTCS Computer Services. How you doing, Brad?
Yeah, no, I'm great. This topic, just kind of hit me up last minute to jump on, and I'm happy to be here. Couldn't be a better topic for me today. This is perfect.
Cool. Glad to have you. Also joining us today, we have Kurt Soderquist from PC Doctor. Kurt, how you doing?
Good. Thank you for having me on again. It was good to meet Brad in person.
Yeah, Chris. Likewise.
All right. So let's go ahead and Brad, I'm going to throw it to you since you've been on the show quite a few times and I just kind of throw you a side curveball. But do you have a tip or story that maybe we can learn from?
Yeah. And actually, I think you've been a part of some of this in our Google Plus chat that we do. So I've been working on, as for all clients, but also specifically for a restaurant group, guest Wi-Fi. There's so many pieces because they don't only want just guests to be able to get online. They want them to have a splash page. They want to collect optional information from the guest. So they either want them to link to their Facebook or email, get an email address and that kind of thing. And then they want to have that of information available for future marketing. So it's like marketing department, they want this marketing information. Accounting department, they don't want to spend too much on guest Wi-Fi. They want to make sure they spend enough that it works, but they don't want to spend a ton of money because it's not, you know, their main operational goal. Their main operational goal is to sell food. And so everything that they want to spend money on is to that end. But this is a guest satisfaction thing. So they have a budget, but they don't want to spend too much. Operations. They want guests to be happy. They don't want anyone to complain. So if guest Wi-Fi sucks, and then IT. We want everything to be secure and we want the speeds. They don't want to impact the rest of the network. And, you know, so we have our stuff that we have to consider. And we don't want to do anything shady. Like, we're aware of all the ways that people can, like, data mine and do all kinds of stuff. And we want to help them stay PCI compliant. So the IT bubble is actually really big. It's like this big. And then the accounting bubble is this big. Anyway, so everybody's kind of trying to figure out their own thing. And this is kind of a new... Anyway, so we've got ubiquity access points throughout most of the company. When I arrived, they already had that. And we just kind of kept that going. And I really like ubiquity. I also like open mesh. I've found some reasons to kind of like choose one over the other. And I'm looking at my notes. So Yelp recently acquired a guest Wi-Fi marketing service company. So now it's like Yelp guest Wi-Fi is a thing. They use open mesh. So you can either use your own or they can give you open mesh. And then I'm close friends with a developer who's an excellent developer. And he builds web applications and apps. And so he's going to build us a system if we want to, for $10,000. But there's other services that cost $200 a location a month. So if you kind of think about it as something you're going to be paying $100 to $200 a month per location, a $10,000 one-time build catches up pretty quick across 10 locations. So it's not unreasonable to think that they're going to do that. And then last minute, somebody who's used to work at the restaurant now works for this other company called Digimaps. And Digimaps with two P's, if you don't spell it right, you won't find it because their SEO is not very good. Which is ironic because they basically want to be Yelp. They're trying to compete with Yelp. They will give them free guest Wi-Fi, including the hardware, like a Wi-Fi router. And then they get this amazing web interface that they can log into and get all this marketing data and set up these automated email campaigns and stuff for free. So now you've got the marketing people are happy. They get the information they want. The accounting people are happy because they don't have to pay for anything. but the IT people, we're not so happy because this hardware kind of sucks. And I'm pretty sure, you know, that famous saying, if you're not paying for it, you're the product.
Yes.
They're data mining. I don't know what they're doing. I don't want to put anything out there on live podcast broadcast about Digimaps that I don't know. So I'm not going to say that there's anything wrong with that company, but I don't know what their business model is, and that makes me kind of anxious. So we're working with them on getting the hardware to work better, but I still just think we should build our own. Like, I'm still just trying to sit down and go, guys, I know it's $10,000, but let's just build it and then we'll own it. And if we want to, we can sell it as a service to other restaurants. Anyway, so that's one of those kind of like, it's been weeks in the making, and that project's just got my brain going in 20 different directions. And
you know, I'm sitting here trying to figure out what is the model for doing something for free for a company. I guess I don't really understand. It's like the, and I was explaining this to somebody the other day, and it's one of my favorite commercials. And if you haven't seen it, you can go on YouTube and check it out, because I watched it for the first time, I don't know, a few days ago. But it's the Fram oil filter commercial. And it basically has a guy in the background working on an engine, talking about if you don't maintain your engine, I'll work on it for you, no problem. And then you've got the guy who says, you need to change your oil every however many thousand miles. You need to use a Fram oil filter, and it'll catch all the bad things and do all this wonderful stuff for you. And the thing is, the guy that's selling the Fram oil filters and oil change, he's like, pay me now. Or the guy in the background who's doing the engine, he's like, or pay me later. But at some point, you're going to pay somebody for something. And I just, these companies, it doesn't seem like they last. Either they do something for free for a while, and then they kind of do this switch where they go, hey, we need to make money in order to be sustainable. And so we're going to start charging, but the companies that have been using their product or service are so used to having it for free, man, they are a detriment, especially to IT. I just don't get it.
I don't know what's going to end up happening, because it's going to be hard for me to convince someone to spend a bunch of money when the other option is to not spend any money at all. But I just don't. Anyway, I want to be able to pick the platform, and I want to control the whole thing. So that's where I'm coming from when I tell them that they should develop their own app. But in all honesty, I looked at the Yelp offering, and if it is something that a restaurant wants, or a coffee shop or something, you know, they want guest Wi-Fi and they want to have this marketing tool. You know, people are wary of Yelp, and me included, as far as like they collect a lot of data, and they're pretty powerful, and sometimes they've been accused of not being the best stewards of some of that power. But the company they acquired, they have a pretty solid tech. It's reasonable for what it does. It's a pretty good deal. And if you use any of the other Yelp services, you get discounts. I don't know. They're all great options. I just wish that the other one, the worst option, wasn't the free one, because I don't like that one at all.
Very good point. All right. No, it was a good story though. It's true. It's stuff we deal with all the time, and that's apropos, because that'll be part of what we'll be talking about in the show. So, Kurt, what type of tip or story do you have for us this week?
Oh, let's see. I had a fun one earlier this last week where I went to a client's house and I did like an hour and a half of a service call, hour and a half time. And I wasn't able to resolve an issue where every time he printed, well, actually it wasn't every time. It was like maybe every three or four tries. He'd print and you'd get the one copy like you're supposed to get. And the next time it would print three copies. And the next time after that, it'd print four copies. So I was going through the settings, trying to look at everything that the printer was set up for. Of course, everything showed that it was fine. It should be only printing one. Whenever I printed some, it'd print one. If he'd go over the computer and touch it and print some, it printed out three. So I couldn't quite figure that one out, so I brought it back to the shop to work on. And I kind of just updated some stuff. updated his driver for the printer just to make sure there was something new there that wasn't like a bug or anything like that. After doing all that work and taking it back to their house and having them test it, and he said everything was fine, the next day he calls me back and he's like, "You didn't fix anything." It does it again. And I just, you know, they're kind of arguing with me because they didn't want to pay for what I had already done. They were refusing. They were just arguing with me. So I wind up letting it slide. I bit the bullet and I said, fine. You know, I said, it's an older computer. You know, I had warned them about that before. It was like an 8-year-old Dell. And they're trying to run Windows 10 on it. And it just runs really slow. And finally, for a few days, they get back to me and they go, "Well, how about we just buy a new computer from you instead?" I was like, "Well, I tried to get you to do that 2 days ago, but okay." So I finally got them going on that. And then I'll be setting up an appointment next week to get that installed and get everything working right. But there's just something weird in Windows. I'm not sure what it is. Even with a new driver, it still wants to print multiple copies, even though you only have it set up for just one. And that was going through the properties and everything for the printer, and I could not get that thing centered.
So here's my first question. And this is just a question because we're all learning here. But number one, how old was the printer?
I want to say the printer is probably about 4 years old.
Time for a new printer. Done. As soon as you go over 4 years old, I'm like, yeah, done. There's something wrong with that printer, and it needs to be replaced.
Yep. And it's a brother, you know, it's an old brother in printer. And I was checking, they had an updated driver for it, you know, that works with Windows 10. But there's times where I'm kind of iffy about that when I see that on websites and they go, "Oh, we got a 7-year-old printer and we can make it work with Windows 10. Yeah, it's not going to work very well. So I learned that the hard way. So, but yeah, that's my main headache that I had last week. So,
all right, very cool. So I got an email from my good friends over at Carbonite. Now, I just set up several customers over the last couple of years with, basically, I was using Carbonite as a backup service. I still am. And for me, it's fine. But I was setting up, I was kind of under this impression that, hey, maybe we should have a local copy of your data plus a cloud copy, plus whatever's on your computer at the time. So you got it backed up in three different places, three different mediums, and basically two are local because one's on a machine, one's on an external drive, and then one's in the cloud. Perfect. If anything happens, you should be covered. Even if the data center loses your data, it's probably not going to be at the same time that your computer dies and your external drive dies. So Carbonite had a pretty good deal. It was $99. And they had where you could have a mirror image using their software, and would also back up all the data files to the cloud. Well, hey, best of both worlds, $99. It's a great deal. And so I was selling these. I'm like, nope, this is what you need to do. I'm not selling you the $59.99 product. I'm selling you the $99.99 product. And people were buying it, no problem. And I'd have them go and get it, you know, little terabyte external drive, put it in their machine, boom, hey, we got a local copy, we got our backup in the cloud, and all this kind of good stuff. Well, they sent me an email and said, yeah, we're not doing the local mirror image anymore. I'm like, really? Because here's the thing. I understand for a lot of businesses, and there's different, you know, Carbonite's got their higher end products, but what I was selling this product to was home users. And I thought, hey, let's do what we can. That way I'm not having to set up a separate image service plus do the cloud backup. So I started looking around and I'm really not finding anybody that does mirror images other than your higher end business products where they will mirror image not only workstations, but servers and so on and so forth. Or I'm sure Chris, if he was on here today, and we miss you, Chris, he would talk about things like managed backup and what he could do. And the problem is for most of your business environments, what you have is managed backup probably works fine because you might not have a whole lot of data on workstations. You might have a little bit more data on the servers, whatever. But for a residential user that I have, it's usually a minimum of 50 gigabytes of data. And no, I'm not talking about music. I'm not talking about videos. I'm talking about documents and pictures 50 gigabytes is normally right where it's at. A lot of times it'll go far north of 100 gigs. A lot of your managed services are not, as far as doing backup, are not great or haven't been in the past. So anyways, if anybody out there knows, if there's somebody that has an affordable for a home user, as far as backing up to the cloud and doing a local image on an external drive, I would like to know what people are using. And the problem is with a lot of these services, I went out and looked at a bunch of them yesterday, and it's very hard to read through their web pages and understand exactly what it is they do or don't do. And I'm not talking about some companies. I'm talking about every company is horrible, because I think they're writing it for the end user, which the end user has no idea what they're even looking at, number one. But for a smart tech guy like me, oh my gosh, you people don't have a clue. So I'm definitely looking for something out there that I'm probably going to have to make this transition. I think I have up until October of 2018, but I don't know what's going to happen in between time. So there might have to be something that I basically start transitioning and start doing some, maybe in a Acronis image backup or something like that. So I will definitely be looking for that in the future and figuring out what I can do for my customers that makes sense for them monetarily and makes sense for them as far as ease of use from my standpoint and from their standpoint. That I don't like putting a bunch of different products on a computer, because a lot of times they will end up fighting with each other. And you're like, no, I can't make this backup here because you're backing this up to the cloud or whatever. So I would like some services that actually work well together. And I'm sure some of you out there have those services you've been using for a while, and I would definitely like to know about them.
From the chat here, it's just someone with a guest. Said CrashPlan Pro does that. I haven't run it. I know that CrashPlan and Acronis.
Well, CrashPlan's gone now, right? They just got bought by Backblaze.
Yeah, well, they're all part of the Carbonite family now. So Carbonite's, the CrashPlan personal edition's gone, but they still do offer the Pro. And then if you're on the CrashPlan site and you want a personal edition, they refer you over to Carbonite. So maybe the Pro version does imaging as well as of all that. And then Kurt says Acronis will do cloud also. So Acronis might be the, if you want that local image and a cloud, maybe Acronis will do something. I haven't done this in a small environment.
You know, it's funny you said that, because now that I think about it, when I have set up Acronis on this computer before, they actually do have a cloud backup service. But again, let's face it. Pretty much everybody, except for maybe one or two of these companies, is using the same server farms. So whether it's, you know, Amazon's, you know, AWS or Microsoft's Azure or whatever, but for all these companies to go, oh, no, we have our own server farms. No, that's baloney. They don't. There are a couple that do that keep them separated from some of the major services, which is one of the reasons I actually use Carbonite, because I'm a little concerned about some of the others out there, not saying that they're bad. And again, as long as you have it backed up in three different places, I'm not as concerned about this whole thing. So, anyways. So, yeah, we'll definitely, I'm going to be looking into that here more in the future to figure out what it is I need to do and what's going to make sense as far as, and it doesn't necessarily have to be the cheapest or anything like that, but it's got to be ease of use, and it's got to be able to work. And hopefully they don't deprecate it like 3 years down the road. All right, let's take a quick break here, and then we'll come back into our main topic. All right, so one of the things that has happened that some of you may or may not be aware of on the Podnuts Network is that basically we've outgrown our hosting. A couple Saturdays ago, we were actually shut down for most of the day. I don't know if anybody noticed. I don't think any shows came out that day, but we had to basically pull some stuff off the server. They said we were using 25% or more of our hosting services, and that's why it got shut down. So a couple things we're doing is, number one, obviously, if anybody that wants to support the network, you can go to podnets.com and you can click on a couple of, there's a donate one time and there's also a donate monthly. You can do either or, and that would absolutely help out the network. The other thing we're looking for, and all this stuff will be on the website, we're starting to do some changes and starting to make some different things happen so that we don't run into this problem again where, hey, we need to change hosting services. Well, we need money to do that. Well, who's going to pay for it? Well, the network needs to pay for it, but you've got to have money coming in order for that to happen. And for those that don't remember, we lost our Amazon affiliate quite a while back for whatever reason. And according to them, we were violating the rules, except they didn't tell us what rules we were violating. So we're like, I don't know. So that took a big chunk of the income that was coming into the network. So one of the things we are looking for, and you can get this information over on podnets.com's website, we're looking for somebody that might want to talk to different vendors and maybe look at getting different sponsorships for some of the shows on the network. And there's a lot of companies out there. There's a lot that people haven't heard of. There's some of the smaller indie companies that would be perfect for what we do. You know, for this show in particular, I like to keep it to things that are going to help computer businesses and computer technicians in their day-to-day business. Some of this other stuff we may end up doing, but the reality is I want to make it worthwhile for, in other words, if I'm going to do an ad on the show, I want it to be worthwhile and to be something that somebody could use and that I know is not just pie in the sky and, you know, fly by night or whatever. So that's kind of what we're looking for. Now, a couple caveats to this. We're looking for somebody that has a passion to talk to vendors. There are people out there that love to talk to vendors. Because here's the thing. What happens in the past is when you do something like this, and you're just sending emails back and forth, that really doesn't get it, because emails can take upwards of days, weeks, and months for the back and forth to actually happen. So we're looking for somebody that might want to take a little, you know, take some time and make some phone calls, actually talk to some people, get to the right department, okay? And what we're offering right now is 25% of whatever comes in to help the network. That way there's an incentive out there that you can be a part of and actually get paid for doing this. And so it's commission only, obviously. But that way, if somebody already has a passion or desire to do something like this and they want to help the network out, this would be one way. And there's many other ways that we're going to bring up and try to get some more people in there to kind of help this network grow. Because I think, as far as what we do here and as far as the community is concerned, I think what we do here is very, very important. And I think the community really makes this network what it is. We get like-minded men and women that come together and share ideas, and we all learn from each other, which is, I think, is important, because you can go out there and be an island unto yourself and just kind of feel like you're lost. But when you have other people that you can bounce stuff off of, this makes it much more worthwhile. So anyways, with that being said, those are some of the things we're looking for. And, you know, obviously money always helps. that's one of the things we're looking for. But there's also, you can give your time and that also helps too. So anyways, if it's important to you, you can go to mail@podnets.com. And hey, if you're good at something that you think the network could use or need, you can send an email off and we can look at it and see if it's something that's worthwhile to pursue. And maybe we can use some people that have gifts and talents out there to help us along. All right, with that being said, let's go ahead and move on to our main topic. And this topic usually hits everybody right between the eyes. How do you handle the stress of running your IT business? And most people go, I don't know. They just kind of go through their day-to-day, and you have good days, you have bad days, you have mediocre days. But one of the things that I hear a lot of times, not only from other podcasts, but from other business owners and whatnot, is the stress that people go through when it comes to basically customer relations. And I'll say this right off the top, is that as far as your relationship with your customer, number one, this old adage of the customer is always right is wrong. Customer is not always right. And part of the problem is, and I was explaining this to the guys earlier, is that it's no different than our kids. Okay, if your kids do something bad, I blame the parents. And the reason I say that is because you can take a child and you can correct that child and have them do whatever it is you desire for them to do it right. Customers are no different. The problem is we don't think of it that way. We think of these customers as, oh, well, they said jump. I'm going to say how high. We need it up and running now. Our server's down. Okay, let's stop. Assess the problem, figure out what we got to do. Now, that doesn't mean that there's never a sense of urgency. Obviously, there's a sense of urgency. But I'm going to say this again. I believe, this is my personal opinion, most of the stress that is brought in your life is caused by you. Now, let that sink in for a minute. Yes, I'm saying, look in the mirror, you are the problem. Once you realize you're the problem, you can figure out how to take care of all the rest of the problems. So that's what we're going to talk about here. So who wants to start off and talk about, you know, what kinds of stress do you guys see in your business? And we'll start off with Brad. Brad, go ahead and I'll give you the floor.
So as I mentioned, this is a very timely topic for me. It's been a pretty heavy month, just in the last 30 days. I have a really good friend who's been experiencing a lot of stress. He doesn't do IT stuff. He's a property manager, but the weight of life got so heavy on him that he chose to move to Hawaii. Like, he packed up. He's lived in Southern California his entire life, packed up, convinced his parents to also move, took his kids and moved to Hawaii. And I was like, okay, I guess that's one way to deal with stress. I mean, it literally was just to deal with stress. He just wanted to, I don't want to be here anymore. I want to get out. And he packed up and went. I do have another, someone who, I don't know whether we would say we're friends necessarily, but someone who I had a good, you know, rapport with in high school that recently was reported to have jumped off of a bridge. And, you know, he kind of took that stress to different directions. So, I'm sitting here going, man, this must be kind of like around your late 30s to early 40s when you're in kind of a transition where you've been sort of a charger, you know, just kind of like running, that you got all the energy of youth, and then you start gaining some of the experience of age, and then it all kind of starts to work together, and then you start running out of that youthful energy and you start getting tired of the BS, and you just kind of go, okay, I need to either figure this out or move to Hawaii. Me personally, you know, I'm hitting that same point where I can't do the 24-hour day if I have to. Like, if some project is so intense that I need to just kind of just work through, I literally used to work for 24 hours straight if I needed to, and I can't do that now. I just can't. And then I realized I don't have to. That reason that I thought that I needed to work through that 24-hour project was just me being, you know, like, oh, I'm a Superman. I can do whatever the hell I want. And so what you're saying about us putting our own stresses on ourselves is totally accurate. I've always put that, and I still do, but I'm starting to manage it better, I think, just realizing that, you know, things are what they are. And we got this one project, a new restaurant build out that's going on down the street that I'm in charge of the IT for. And so we got together with the contractors, the owners, the electrical contractor, the AV guy, and who's also doing the wiring, like pulling the physically pulling the cable. We get together with all of them on site with blueprints. And we all map out all of our stuff. Like, you know, the electrical is going this way, and my IT stuff for the point of sale and Wi-Fi and stuff is going this way, and this is where the wire is going to go, and the speakers and blah, blah. We all do it on site with paper, write it all down. And then inevitably, the woodworking guys come in who weren't a part of that meeting and close off a column that was supposed to have wire. Like, the wires were kind of attached to this metal pole coming down from the ceiling, and the wood enclosure around it, that's kind of just the cosmetic part of it, was supposed to encase those wires so that they could come out and we could mount a thing to it. Well, they didn't, you know, so we get there and this beautiful woodworking is all completely finished and the wires are hanging down next to it. I'm like, guys, that was supposed to be, those wires were supposed to be in that column because that's the only way we could get those to the thing that we needed there, like the point of sale terminal. And they're like, well, it's done now. That would have been just like a year ago or 2 years ago, whatever. I would have just walked out and gone down to the bar and had a drink. Cause like this, how could we have made this any more clear? But now I'm just like, yeah, that was something was bound to happen. We'll figure it out, you know? So yeah, that's why I chose to go into a profession where I was ultimately responsible for one of the more mission critical business things that now I'm finding when they don't work, business owners are they get mad because this thing that they absolutely need to now to have to conduct their business is not working. They get crazy, and then I'm the one that they get crazy with. So and the fact that we're dealing with stuff that's not perfect. None of this stuff's perfect. All computer stuff is flawed. And they go, and when everything's fine, everybody loves you. And when something's not working, it's completely your fault. So I guess you just have to figure out how not to believe that.
That's pretty good. All right, Kurt, what about you? What types of stresses do you have in your business?
So, like, Brad deals with more bigger business stuff than I do. I do a lot of home computer repair. I do a lot of residential. That's 90% of my business. And I have people that I can explain to them in the most simplest terms on how to go through something if they're having issues. You know, like, for instance, you have the scam websites that tell you, hey, you have to call 1-888 because Microsoft said so. We got to clean your computer for you. So I try to explain to people how to use the Control-Delete. A lot of people don't know where the Control-Delete on their keyboard is, which is amazing. But it's true, especially the older folks. So I try to talk to them in a way where they can kind of understand it without tying up too much time on my phone. And when people start to stress out, it kind of kicks back on me and I can feel it. And then I'm trying to keep my patience, trying to explain something that they're still having a hard time understanding, even though I try to make it in the most simplest of terms. Or if I have people come in here and they're angry and they're pounding their fist on the desk and they're pointing at you like it's all your fault that their computer just decided to up and quit and won't start up. And you do little things like pull the battery out of the laptop, hold the power button for a few seconds, pop the battery back in, fire it up, and they're just like, look at you, kind of dumbfounded in a way. But they're just like, well, how'd you do that? Well, it's real simple. See what I just did? That's what you do. So, but for some people, it just doesn't work that way. So, you know, my stress is more when I have people coming in here, you know, I do have folks that come in and they start screaming and yelling at me. I got to kill them with niceness. I got to have the smile on my face. I got to keep the low tone. You know, I can't raise my voice and fight back. You know, that's where a lot of mine comes from. It's just, I have clients that are really impatient. They don't want to take the time to learn. A lot of it comes down to that with the base of my clients, most of them are people that are like 50 plus is the majority of my clients. They're the ones that get stressed out the most because they're still trying to figure out some of the things on the computer. And I try to give them some kind of basis on how to learn to do stuff, or I want to offer classes down the road, you know, once I get this business. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm stuck at right now, is having to deal with a lot of people's anger and trying not to deflect it and trying to chew them out, or try to talk above them, or try to talk like I'm better, which I'm not. But I try to get at a level pace where I can get people to understand me. You know, it's kind of things like that. That's where most of my stress is just dealing with a lot of clients like that.
Okay. So one of the things I would probably do in some of these cases, and maybe this is not the right thing to do, is I would take that person's laptop, have a notepad and pen slided across to them, say, you know what? From now on, use this. And not only that, not only would that de-stress me, but it might get a little chuckle out of them. I've actually told people that in the past. I
told a guy to hire an intern to replace a problem with scanning business cards the other day.
There you go. There you go. The problem is we can't, number one, a lot of people, and Kurt, you said exactly right. A lot of people look at this stuff and they want to take an attack about a broken computer personal. Number one, it's not personal. The person's frustrated. Hey, if you're in the middle of wintertime and you live up in the north where it's cold, Brad, you're not included. Then all of a sudden, if your heater goes out and it's 30 below, that's kind of stressed, right? Because now you got to get somebody out there. Well, you know, if you lost electricity or there's a bunch of people in your area that have a problem, all of a sudden that heating and cooling person is probably going to go, yeah, I can get to you in about 4 days. Well, try lasting 4 days without a heater in your home. So stuff like that can be kind of stressful. And you look at, how do these heating and cooling, you know, these heating and cooling people were just calling them, hey, come on in here, you know, fix this. And here's the thing. A lot of times when it comes to stress, I think a lot of times it comes down to that a lot of times we're not charging enough. And I know I've said a lot of times, but we're not charging enough right now so that it makes it less stressful. In other words, most of us would probably take manure, and I'd stack manure all day long for a certain amount of money. Everybody has their price. So, but if you're doing something so cheaply and you're having to drive a bazillion hours to get somewhere, then a lot of times that's going to be stress within itself. And then you get there and people are not very cooperative. And when you ask them what they did, they always say nothing. I touched nothing up until the point where you walk in the server closet and you go, why are these four wires unplugged? Well, this thing was down over here, so I was trying to plug some in over there. Well, wait a minute. Just 2 seconds ago, you told me you were doing nothing. But you have to look at these situations when you're coming into this stuff and people getting upset and want things up and running. There's a move that I teach people all the time. Okay. Now, for those that are listening and not able to watch right now, I'm going to show this move, but I'm going to talk about it. The move is you're going to take your hands, palms facing up, and you're going to take your shoulders and you're going to shrug them. If you get that move down, I guarantee you that will de-stress you a lot because it's fun to do and people are looking at you like you're absolutely nuts. But in all seriousness, if you think about what people are doing in a business, they're making widgets, they're selling services, they're doing whatever they need to do. A lot of times they try to be helpful or they don't want to listen. So you have to make sure that you have all this stuff documented so that when it comes to a problem that you know is going to rear its ugly head and it happens, you go, you know what? We talked about this 6 months ago. You didn't want to do anything about it. So we'll take care of it. But at that point, there should absolutely be no urgency on your part. The problem is, a lot of us are probably like me. And if I have something sitting on my bench, I want to get it off the bench and move on to the next thing. What I've had to learn as I've gotten older is there's two ways to do things. I can either stress about having all kinds of stuff on my bench, or I can, hey, we take it a day at a time. No, I'm not, Brad, you're nuts. I'm not working 24 hours. there's no way, not at my age, that's not true. Probably in my 20s, I would have. But there is absolutely no, you know what? I've explained this to engineers for many, many years. And I'm talking high-level engineers that would come in at 6 and not leave till 9 o'clock at night. And you know what? And here's the problem. That engineer was sitting with other people in other cubicles, and that engineer was sitting there going, wait a minute. People are coming in at 9 and leaving at 5. I'm here from 6 to 9 o'clock at night. How is that? And we're all getting paid the same. And a lot of times I would tell them, I said, listen, here's the one thing you can guarantee as an engineer, is there will always be work the next day. Doesn't matter what you finished up that day. Doesn't matter how far you got. There will always be work the next day. So as long as you know that, you put in a fair day, whatever that is, 8 hours, 10 hours for some, maybe 12 hours at the max, which I still think is nuts. But just understand, you can always go back the next day and figure out what else needs to be done. Because here's the other thing you do too, and I've heard this oftentimes, and I know it's true in my life, is that a lot of times if I'm stressed and I'm trying to get something done, my brain is not operating at the optimal level it's supposed to be. So now we're making all kinds of mistakes, and now we're getting even more stressed out, where you go, you know what? Here's what I'm going to handle today. I'm going to go home, relax, reset, come back the next day. The problem is you have to be able to communicate this in a way that the customer understands. Look, listen, I know things are down. Listen, I know you're stressed, and I get that. But here's the thing. Here's what we need to do in order to make this correct. Now, I can come in here and just start throwing things around, and we'll get it up and running eventually, but there might be other inherent problems. So you need to look at this stuff systematically. And a lot of people can't take that time because they're stressed and they're really not sure how to talk to the customer. The customer's stressed and they're really not, a lot of times, all they want, Brad said this earlier, is they just want it up and running. Just get it running. I will. But again, just remember the famous move, palms in the air, shrug the shoulders, make you feel a whole lot better. So Brad, how do you deal with a customer that basically is just going bananas and wants to, I need this done now? What are some of the things maybe you've done in the past that you go, you know what, I'm never going to do it that way again? And what are some of the things that you learned from the way you used to do things versus now?
So one thing that I've done in the past that was, you know, it was to try to be the guy, the hero guy, and also to give me something to do in the meantime. But when something is somebody else's fault, like the ISP system is down or whatever, it's something that it's not really, you probably can't fix it. You need to get them to fix it. It's not your problem, and it's not something within your power to fix. But I'm smart. I can figure out a way. Like, I can get it. I can figure it out. So you spin your wheels for hours trying to solve somebody else's problem, and you end up, maybe you do fix it. One time out of 10, you figure out something that kind of works. But in the meantime, you've wasted so much time and stressed out, and most of the time you're not successful. So you spend all that 10 hours trying to figure something out for nothing. It's okay to just tell the, because you don't want to tell the customer, I can't do it. Because that, I can't say those words. I don't know how to say those words. And it stresses me out to do it. So now I'm getting better, just saying, hey, you know what? That's their problem. I will help you get them to fix it, but I can't fix it. It's just not going to work right now. Go home for the day. I don't know. Figure it out. Go back to paper. We have in all of our restaurants, we have a crash kit. It's a little Tupperware box, and it's got a big clunky like credit card thing that, and with the carbon copies. And we have it for a reason. It's not so that when the system crashes, we all panic and freak out. It's because, hey, you know, stuff happens, and this is the way we deal with it. We go back to the old thing, and we figure out how to fix this thing in a timely manner, but we're not going to panic. We have a crash kit. That's what we do. Whereas it's once this, when the system goes down, usually everyone's like, oh my God, get it up. And I used to kind of consult for an IT department in a large restaurant. And if the point of sale goes down, it is like code red and everybody all hands on deck. And it's too stressful. They put that, it's like you said, they put that on themselves. They could just say, hey, get the crash kit out. We'll have a guy out there. We'll get it done. It'll be fine. You might be down for a couple hours, but you know, you'll be okay. But yeah, so really just learning how to say, you know what? I can't fix that. That's not within my power to do, or not within my, I don't want to fix that. Yes, I can climb into an attic crawl space and pull cable, but I don't want to. so I don't. Yeah, learning that line. The other thing that really, I bet that a lot of people in the IT business have the same kind of thing. I'm cool with talking to people, but I do have an underlying social anxiety issue. And so when my phone rings, my blood pressure spikes. I don't care who's calling. I don't like talking on the phone. I hate it. So sometimes I just don't answer it now. Like I just, you know, let me go get into my happy place and then I'll talk to you. Cause when my phone rings, it's almost never good.
That's funny.
Somebody doesn't usually call me to congratulate me on what is a wonderfully quiet week, like how everything's been just, you know, this whole week, our computers just worked. We just wanted to call you and say thank you. Nope, that's not why they're calling. They're calling me because they have a problem. And maybe I don't know how to deal with it right away. Or I have to talk to them through something over the phone or whatever. Having IT conversations over the phone, as you know, Curtis was saying earlier, he's got to talk to somebody and tell them how to push control, alt, delete. Like my brain needs to be able to like focus through a problem and systematically go through it. And when I have to hit a brick wall because my fingers can't hit control delete because it's on the other end of the phone and that guy doesn't know where those buttons are. And so, yeah. So yeah, I just, you know, if I'm not in the place for it, I might answer it and go, hey, I'm in the bank right now. I'll call you back. Or I just don't answer. I let go of voicemail and I call him back when I can. Which, I don't know, maybe that's not the best long-term solution. Maybe I just need to hire somebody to answer the phone. But
Well, here's the thing. And I've said this in the past, and a lot of people won't believe me for whatever reason. But the reality is and actually I know other people in your businesses that do this too. Every phone call goes to voicemail. I hear the ringtone. I have a special ringtone for when my customers call. Don't care. It goes to voicemail. And just like you said, the reason I let it go to voicemail is so that when I get to a little quiet place or whatever, I can actually listen to that, understand what it is, what their needs are, and I'm able to put a plan together in my head before I even go back and contact them about that issue. Now, again, we got to remember, see, everybody has this inherent SLA written in their head that they believe they have to give to the customer. So they have to give the customer a certain amount of response time. No, you don't. Unless you have an SLA agreement that says that, right? A service level agreement. Sorry, I use an acronym. What's wrong with me?
Come on, Jeff. You're better than that.
I know. It's like, what? Oh my gosh. Anyway, so you have a service level agreement which says, here is what we're responsible for. Here's what we're going to do. Here's what you're responsible for. Here's what you're going to do. It's an agreement. It's not a one-way street, okay? So most people don't have those. Yet we treat almost every customer, from what I've seen from a lot of techs and business owners, we treat every customer like we have an SLA. And all of a sudden, oh my gosh, they call. I got to call them right back. No, you don't. Because again, I like what Brad said. It saves yourself a lot of stress. You can assess the problem, come up with a solution, get a hold of them, and move on down the road. And here's a little tip. When people call and they have a little problem, here's what I found. 9 times out of 10, when I go to get back to them, they've already figured it out. Bonus. I just saved myself a ton of time. And you know what? And then I call them back and I go, hey, that's awesome. I'm glad that everything worked out. If you need anything anymore, feel free to give me a call. I've touched base with them. I didn't leave them hanging out in a cold, but I touched base with them and said, all right, here we go. And, you know, again, less stress for yourself. So, Kurt, what types of things have you learned from your past of, or maybe even things that you're dealing with right now that you could change to make it better for the future as far as dealing with stress in your business?
So, like I've talked to you about in the past, you know, I'm looking to try to purchase PC Doctor. And depending on what happens there, we'll determine whether I just start my own business. Some of the things that I've learned that I'm going to take with me in the future here as I move along is that when people are like, well, you know, I tell them my hours, hey, I work from 9 to 5:30. You know, after that point, I'm done. I don't try to go beyond that. To me, it's really not worth it because by that time of the day, I'm already tired after staring at screens all day. So when they call me up, they say, oh, you got to get out here. You got to fix my printer. Or I'm having this issue with my internet. You know, my internet's not working. It's like, well, you need to call your IP, you know, ISP, and let them know I can't do anything for you. So my big thing is it's very, very rare if I ever work like a 10 or 12 hour day. It's very rare. Once in a while I do. Like for one instance, maybe like 8-9 months ago, I did one for the radio station here in town. Because their pseudo server went down and I needed to get a hard drive in there, a couple of them actually, reload it so they could put all of their music back on there and then be able to transfer it to their workstations, you know, for the radio. So I stayed up pretty late doing that one. But, you know, in the end, they appreciated it. You know, they give me little things. Here's some tickets. Go to take your woman and your daughter and stuff like that to, you know, Winter Wonderland or whatever you want to call it. So I get, you know, I get these little things that are a little bit of kickbacks, which is kind of showing that they have appreciation for me, which is nice. Or they'll give me a break on the cost of doing my radio commercials that I go and record for. So that kind of helps me out. But when it comes to long hours, I cut it off at 5:30. To me, it takes a lot of stress off of me. I can go home, spend time with my family. I don't want to be stuck working all the time and then come home and have an angry woman at me because I'm not doing anything with her. I'm not talking to her or whatever it might be, you know? So, you know, that's kind of the thing I learned in the, you know, as I go along here is just, you know, try not to take stuff overly seriously. You know, like you said, when people call, you know, I'll have the shop ringing and I'll be out talking to a client in the front and you always got that, you know, you have the urge that you want to go answer the phone, but I just let it sit. And eventually I'll get to it and I'll check it. And if it sounds like it's something really minor, usually I don't jump on it and call it back right away. I'll just give it some time. So it gives me a chance to kind of de-stress, especially if I was dealing with a client that was kind of hot-headed. But otherwise, if it sounds something that's like really important, like a business or something, they're having issues, then I'll get back to them right away just to see what's happening, see what I can do for them, you know. But I'm trying to de-stress myself a little bit. My biggest deal right now is I'm dealing with the stress of trying to figure out what I want to do about buying the business and having some contingency plans in place if I don't buy this one and I decide to just do my own. And I've already got the client base. I know I can do it. It's just I got to figure out what I'm going to do from that point. So, you know, I have friends that own businesses and they're kind of telling me one thing. And then I listen to you guys talk and I kind of take that in. And then I talk to some other people and I just kind of take it all and kind of process it and see what's going to work best for me. And then from that point, it just kind of trying to keep my levels of stress under a little bit because that's where I'm at right now. I'm stressed out a little bit right now because I keep thinking about it, which I shouldn't be doing. I should just be sitting here relaxing, enjoying my time with you guys.
Well, don't get me wrong. People are stressed even when they don't think they're stressed. We all have a certain amount of stress on a regular basis. The problem is most of the time, especially if you're a person like me, I can internalize it and compartmentalize it to a point where you don't see it on the outside. But all of a sudden I'll have ailments or different things that come up because it's eating me up on the inside. And that's when I know, okay, I need to take a step back. But we also need to, if you have a customer that says, hey, I've got to have this done now. I've got to have it fixed, you know, yesterday, blah, 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 blah. A lot of times, if you turn that back around And let's say you're dealing, I don't know, with a dentist. Let's just say, right? We pick anybody, dentist, lawyer, doesn't matter. And if I look at that dentist and go, you know what? My tooth is hurting me really bad. And I understand it's 2 o'clock in the morning, but I really need you to take care of this. And I need it done yesterday. You know what that dentist is going to be like? Yeah, right. You're not getting that done. Yeah, call the office, make an appointment. We'll probably see you in about a week. Suck it. And so if you look at how other people deal with their own businesses, yet they turn it back around on you like you're supposed to be this supernatural person that all of a sudden is able to fix the problem instantaneously and get them back up and running, a lot of times you can make them see, oh, wait a minute, I wouldn't do that. Why would I expect this person to do that? And so you got to be able to take that step back and be able to, again, it's about communication, communicating with your customers and just letting them know. Here's the thing. If you're working on something, then let them know what you're doing. Say, here's an estimated time, and we might be back up and running at such and such a point, but there's other things we have to check out. And you get to that, whatever that time period is, and you let them, you just give them an update. You let them know, hey, here's what's going on. And you know what I always tell people? Listen, there's a couple different ways we can do this. You can tell me the problem, and leave me alone. I'll go in, I'll do everything within my power to fix the problem. If you bird dog me, and you're standing there over my shoulder going, what are you doing? What's going on? Well, what are you doing now? Guess what? It's going to take me a lot longer. And I just let people know that. So there's two ways we can do this. You can leave me alone, and the smart people figure this out. They'll leave me alone so I can do my job. The not so smart people, not calling anybody dumb, I'm just saying the not so smart people, basically, they don't get it. And some of those people, you just have to let them know, hey, the longer you stand there, the longer this is going to take. I'm not trying to be a jerk, but you're kind of distracting me from what I need to concentrate. And that's the other thing people don't understand. The concentration, I'll give you a prime example. And a lot of people may find this weird. When it comes to podcasts, I love listening to podcasts. I love getting the information. I can listen to podcasts in my car while I'm driving. I can listen to podcasts on a walk. I can listen to podcasts while I'm cleaning up my basement, doing the dishes, whatever it is. I cannot listen to a podcast most of the time when I'm trying to figure out a technical problem. Now, if I'm tearing apart a laptop, I can have a podcast blasting in the background because there it's just I just do it. It's not none of it's really difficult. But if I'm trying to figure out a problem of what's going on, there are times when I'm pausing that podcast to go in there because I've got to put my thinking brain on and really concentrate. A lot of customers don't understand that. Again, if you turn it back around on them, listen, while you're working on my will, can I stand behind you and just, you know, kind of point some things out and, you know, make sure that we're getting all this stuff done, you know, and you know, when you got to make sure everything's finalized and it reads right, I'm going to ask you questions and I'm going to make sure that I understand exactly what you're doing every step of the way. Now, for most people, here's the difference. For those people, like a lawyer, let's say, they'd be like, yeah, no problem. Time is money. For a lot of us, depending on how you charge, time might not be money for you. It might be money for somebody else, but not for you. So definitely be careful of what you're doing or what you're allowing your customer to do. And this is why I say a lot of undue stress is coming from us because we're allowing, it's like this, you're allowing your kids to be bad. You're allowing your customers to be bad. It's the same thing. And a lot of people are so afraid that they're going to lose that relationship or that job. Well, sometimes that might be a good thing because if you lose a bad customer, there's other customers out there that are willing to leave you alone, let you do your job, give you the time to do it, and pay you accordingly. Yes, they do exist. But the problem is we're like, and I was seeing this the other day and it reminded me again, if you look at how do you capture a monkey? And you can take a coconut or something, you know, some sort of round thing, a bottle with a small neck in it. You could put a peanut or something in there, something a monkey wants. And a monkey puts her hand in that small hole with their fingers, and they grab whatever it is, and they want that thing so bad, they sit there and can't pull their fist out because the fist won't fit through the hole. And so the hunters can come up and just basically pick them up. Hey, thanks, you know. And so a lot of people, when they're, you know, they're grabbing onto something and they don't want to let go of how they're doing it today, because they don't realize that there's many other ways to deal with this stuff. Some things, sometimes businesses, you just got to let go. And whatever happens, happens. You move on. I guarantee you one thing. You, even though there's a small, minute amount of stress when it comes to not getting paid for doing something, because maybe that business is going away for whatever reason, there are other businesses out there that will take care of you accordingly and give you a lot less stress in your life. You can choose. The problem is we like comfortable. We like staying where we're at. We like knowing that we already have a customer in place. We don't have to chase anything else. Well, here's the thing. You also have to remember, if you are not moving forward in your business and you're standing still, you're not actually standing still. You are progressively moving in a backwards direction, whether you believe it or not. Talk to me in 10 years and you will exactly understand what I'm talking about. So anyways, those are kind of my thoughts on this whole stress in life, stress on, you know, because you talking about the business stress, that's just one stress. You got stress of raising kids, maybe. You got stress of your spouse. You got stress of whatever. This stuff is with you all the time. There's certain things that, like in a household, you have to deal with. And what we need to remember is that we don't necessarily need to deal with that when it comes to our customers. We can choose to make them understand or to let them go. Now, Brad, has there been any businesses that you go, you know what, we're not a good fit, I'm walking away, and you were just like going, you almost get up in the morning and you dance a little jig. I don't have to work for them no more.
100%. Yes. There's more than one, a couple, a restaurant down, kind of down, it's difficult to get to because they're in a weird, like a canyon kind of thing. So there's two roads that go in, to this area that's kind of busy. So one, driving there was already a problem because getting in and out of there in a timely manner was difficult. And so I could get stranded or stuck and then not be able to get to other service calls. So there was that. Restaurants are high demand as it is anyway. You know, their point of sale system really is kind of like do or die for them. If it goes down, it's a problem. So I get, and you know, it's a stressful business. So I get that. But on top of that, the manager that I was having to deal directly with was such, I don't, there's no word that I can use on a family friendly show to describe this person. So I just, well, you get it. He was very unpleasant to deal with. Everything had to be done now. Everything had to, and he just, I hated everything about working with this person. So, and they were a good client. The money was there, but sometimes it wasn't worth the money anyway, just because of the difficulty in travel and stuff. I eventually just said, you know, I can't work with you guys anymore. I'm sorry, but I just don't think it's a fit. Regionally, it's a problem. You know, I didn't tell him because you're a jerk. I've refused to work with you. But that was the reason 100%. And everyone that dealt with this man said the exact same thing. And a lot of people left, including me. And I just, I'm out. And literally, like you said, the next morning when I woke up and I was so happy. I'm like, wow, what? Today is an awesome day. I'm not going to get a phone call from this guy and I'm not going to have to deal with them. And, you got to prune the bad customers out. Especially if there's another customer that, I wanted to fire them. They were actually wonderful people, or they are wonderful people. But dealing with their situation was stressful. So I told them, hey, look, I'm going to be straight with you. your account is causing me a tremendous amount of anxiety. It's like cutting into my quality of life. Like I just, because of the, I literally said that to them. And I said, so I'm either going to have to stop servicing your account so that I don't have a heart attack, or we're going to have to deal with these exact things. These are why it's stressful for me. Like, this is why I don't like working for you guys. And if we can fix these things and we can continue, and we did, now they're a good client and it's fine. Cause I don't mind. They were, like I said, they're wonderful people. I don't mind having, you know, picking up the phone and talking to them. I just didn't like dealing with their expectations. I actually basically just had to manage their expectations. This is what it takes to get you guys working, and they, and you need to pay. One of them was money. Like, when I send you a bill, you got to pay it. If I have to call you and hound you for money, I won't do it. I've quit and I've fixed customers that were stressing me out.
All right, Kurt, what about you?
I think in the 6 years I've been with this company, I probably had to fire like 5 clients. Because it would be to a point where even with some new people that might come into me and they'll say, my son works for Microsoft. Everyone's son and daughter works for Microsoft, obviously. But they come in and they sit down and they go, well, this is the problem with the computer and I need you to fix this problem. And, you know, I know right away, I can tell depending on what it is, that that's not the issue, but they think it is. You know, viruses kill the computer. It doesn't power on anymore. It's a virus. The virus stopped it. It killed it. So, you know, if I sit there and try to explain something to them and I say, you know what, I'll work on it. And they say, no, just do this right now. And it's like, well, you know, if you don't trust my opinion, then I'm not the right person for you. You need to find someone that you can trust because you're not listening to what I have to say. And I don't want to sit there for 5-10 minutes, you know, and try to explain something to someone that doesn't want to hear me and go, hey, that was a great conversation. You owe me $21 for sitting here talking to me during this last 15 minutes. You know, and they're going to get offended and storm out. it's kind of tricky. But like I said, I've had people that had to fire. You know, I've had folks that come to me for like 2-3 years. And, you know, I'd work on everything for them. And all of a sudden, it's just, you know, because their grandson from school said, well, it's not supposed to be this way. He did it wrong. This is what you're supposed to do it. And then they goof up the computer and then they come back at me like it was my fault. So I'm just like, oh, God. And I got to keep fixing the problem that I told them not to do in the first place. You know, stay away from clicking on this website. Stop going to Facebook and clicking on all these links that presume that Jennifer Aniston's dead or raised from the grave and became a zombie or whatever, you know. And people just click it. Ooh, God, it's got to be real, you know. So, but I get a lot of people that do that, and I try to explain to them not to do it, and they don't listen. So it gets to a point, and it's like, okay, if you don't want to hear what I'm telling you, and you don't want to trust what I'm telling you, then it's time for you to find someone else that'll want to listen to you. Because it gets kind of tough, and there's not very many techs in this town. There's a lot, you know, there's very few. But, you know, I'm usually a pretty patient person, but, I mean, my patience can wear thin after a while. And then I'm just like, you know what? This isn't working. You got to go. You know, I'll recommend you to somebody else, and that person might call me later and go, oh, thanks. You just gave me this headache.
So, nice.
So, but otherwise, yeah.
You know, it's funny because if somebody actually walked in and said, my son or daughter or whomever works for Microsoft, the first thing I would say is, well, gosh, that's a great thing that you brought it to me, somebody that can actually work on it then. See, again, it's all about turning it around. Apparently, my wife says I'm very good at it. Irritatingly so, but it's what I do. So, yeah, no, that's good. But I think the point is, we've talked about stress. We've talked about managing expectations between you and the customer, understanding you don't have to take every job. You don't have to do everything yesterday. And it doesn't matter. In my opinion, if people really looked at it, and Brad, I'll use your restaurants as an example. Everybody will say that in a restaurant or a store, you know, I've had this happen in beauty salons and whatnot. The POS system goes down. We're out of business. No, you're not. You know what I do? Walk in. I got a handful of calculators. I start handing them out and some pen and paper. And hey, we're going to jot this stuff down. We're going to use the calculators. We're going to actually take cash. Oh my gosh, there's a novel idea. This stuff does happen. And, you know, quite honestly, if your automatic credit card system or, you know, debit card system is not working for whatever reason, I understand a lot of people don't carry cash, but there are also a lot of people that I've seen come into these places and actually do pay with cash. It's not unheard of. So it does happen. Yes, I understand it would hamper your business and you wouldn't want this for a long-term solution, but it absolutely, or worst case scenario, if you want to take a credit card, you pull out your little swipey, you know, put the card in there with the carbon paper. I know people still have those, I think, underneath their counters, just in case. You never know. Or if you really want, you could have a backup system. Here's something. Oh my gosh, we can go digital. You could have a Square payment reader temporarily. And yes, they sell the little readers that you can use with the chip and all that kind of stuff. So it's all good. There's a lot of different things you could have set in place, which would not cost a whole lot of money for these businesses to fall back on. But again, our job is to tell them, here's what we can do to mitigate the problem. If you don't want to do that, again, palms up in the air, shrug the shoulders, not my problem. But we're going to help you fix it anyways.
Where the stress comes in is where you convince them to do all of that stuff and spend all the money they bought. They've got the battery backup systems on all everything, and they've got the Square reader in the drawer, and they've got the, you know, whatever. I recommend you upgrade your router, and blah, blah, blah. And then when something still eventually does go wrong, and they're like, why did we do all this stuff? Why did we get you to spend? Why did we spend $5,000 upgrading all of this stuff and doing all these things, and it didn't? And then we're still down and dead in the water. That's the day where you're just like, oh, I'm out. I'm done.
Well, here's and again, managing expectations. Here's what everybody needs to tell their customers. Listen, there's one thing I can guarantee you. Everything breaks. That's the one guarantee. Everything breaks. And so, again, and you said it at the beginning of the show, Brad, we're working in a system that is so imperfect. And this is Microsoft and Google's problem and Apple. And they're all, shame on all of those companies for not sharing in the kingdom and working well together. That's a big part of the problem. You know what? And we're the superheroes that come in and put all this stuff together and make it work. You, honestly, when I walk into an office, you should get down on your hands and knees and kiss my feet. I'm that good.
Yeah. I tell my customers every day, none of this should work. If you were to describe the overall, you know, that between hardware and software and everything and the politics and the finances and stuff involved, if you were to describe this situation to me, I would tell you there's no way that that's going to work. And yet most of the time it does. It's amazing.
All right, so let's go ahead and we'll take a quick break and we'll go. We only have a few minutes left, but we do have a couple emails we can go into. All right, to support this show, you can go to patreon.com/computer repair podcast. And I want to thank our latest pledge from Ed Marshall. Thank you, Ed. Appreciate that. And I want to thank all of the rest of our Patreon supporters for your continued support. I don't think anybody's fallen off yet. People that have come on and decided to give are still giving. And we're, like I said earlier in the show, it takes money to do things. So money works, but so does time and effort. So I appreciate everything that all the guests and co-hosts that come on these shows of what they do to share their information. Because if it was just me, I would be sitting here pontificating for hours and you all would get bored and it would be a boring show. And so I just pontificate a little bit and let these guys come in with like real actionable information. So anyways, all right, let's answer some emails and we can take some calls. Phone lines are open. Call in number is 1-888-697-0162. All right. First email is from, Ed Marshall. Look at this. Thank you, Ed. Not only do you have some questions, which is awesome, again, part way of giving back to the show, but he also gave with his pocketbook. Awesome. Hi, Jeff and gang. Hope you're well. My name is Ed Marshall. I am the owner of the Marshall's Office, LLC out of Decatur, Michigan. I love it. Marshall's Office. That's good. I like that. All right, Jeff, hello to a fellow Michigander. Thank you. I don't even know where Decatur, Michigan is, but I'm going to look it up later. All right. First of all, thank you for having this amazing podcast. It has helped me push further into starting this business, and I can't thank you enough. I've been listening daily to current and past episodes. It's been wonderful. Man, it must be like you're listening. If you're listening to me that much, it's probably eventually like nails on the chalkboard. But no, I appreciate that you appreciate that. All right, this is a new adventure for me. On the side while I work at my day job, welcome to the club. I landed my first small business customer through a friend, and it fell into my lap. That's usually how they start. I come from a 15-plus year IT career in various schools, municipalities, and in the private sector. Any suggestions for doing my first network audit for a small network? They've had a former IT company do the work for them, but that company decided to chase bigger fish. And that happens a lot. You will see companies come in and kind of throw a big number out there, and they're kind of like, yeah, we threw a big number because it's not something we do. They want to take care of the bigger shops, not the smaller shops. And have left this new customer of mine hanging. Backups don't appear to be getting done as they should be, and their Windows Servers Essential 2012 is hosting their website, their email, and it's also their file server. All in one, sure, it works for this very small network of three computers. Wow, three computers, and they have a Windows Server Essential. Wow, okay. It could be overkill depending on what they're doing. But I'm a fan of not putting my eggs all in one basket. If it tanked today, they would be up a creek. Yes, they would. All right, my first thought was to recommend that they have their website and email migrated to Hosted. Yep, Hosted Exchange. Office 365, whatever the Google services are called today, because it seems like they change their name all the time. Either one of those are great services. Any thoughts on Intermediate or Rackspace? Any others that you guys would recommend that I look at? Does anybody know anything about Intermediate or Rackspace?
Yeah, I use them. I have one customer using Rackspace Hosted Exchange. It's fine. It's not as reliable in the end. For like three users, assuming, like, why not just use my 365, Office 365 or Google G Suite? You could do. I mean, if they have some reason that they really need Exchange, I don't know. I think I would. I don't like. I'm going to migrate away from the Hosted Exchange with Rackspace just because it's. It's like overly complicated, and sometimes it goes down because it's actually like on actual servers. You know what I mean? Like, it's with Office 365. I don't know how many server warehouses Microsoft has, like data centers, but they have lots, right? They have so many that their system almost never goes down. The same thing with Google. Google's got so many data centers, and you can manage everything just as well with those platforms as with Exchange. I would just do that. But Intermedia and Rackspace have good solutions, and if you've got a reason that you really want, like, the actual Hosted Exchange, AppRiver is also good for that. I have AppRiver, Rackspace, and I've looked at Intermedia. I don't actually have any clients using it, but there were some interesting things about them too. It was years ago. I just kind of feel like Hosted Exchange is kind of outdated, and yeah, having a server in an office with three computers does seem a bit overkill.
Depending on what they're doing, you know, obviously if they need some sort of database in there. There could be a reason where they actually have to use a real server, which that's fine, but it all depends, as Chris would say. So now using a company like AppRiver, Intermedia, Rackspace versus just going directly to Microsoft, the difference would be with these other companies, you're going to have support outside of what Microsoft gives you support for, maybe for a little bit more money. I know AppRiver is kind of like that, where you pay a little bit more. But they give you support versus Microsoft, you get a limited amount of support if you go directly to them. That's my understanding of the services.
I don't actually have Office 365 in use right now. So I've never had to call their support. But I've had to call G Suite support, and it's pretty phenomenal. It's great, actually. I was surprised because, you know, regular Google's not known for customer service because they're all robots. But they have 24/7 around the clock call centers, and they jump from the US to Ireland. And then I'm not sure where the Asian call center is for that time zone, but depending on when you call. So actually, if you call at around like 10 p.m. our time, you get Ireland, which I actually choose to call them at that time because I like talking to Irish people.
That's cool. That's really cool.
But they're very thorough. They don't do, you know, that one move that they don't do is the shoulder shrug with the palms up.
Oh, okay.
They actually will try to help you through something that may not be 100% their responsibility to solve. I've loved G Suite.
All right, there you go. I know there's a lot of companies out there too that I know of that use G Suite. And then there's a lot of companies out there that will use Office 365 through someone like AppRiver. And Kurt, probably you don't use you don't support any of that stuff, do you? Yeah, okay. palms up, shoulder shrug. You guys are learning, man. This is what we do. All right, so let's continue on in this email. Hopefully that helps you, Ed. It says, I'm looking at SolarWinds MSP. I'll run with Ninja RMM eventually, but I can get SolarWinds in small quantities for now, along with recommending Malwarebytes Endpoint Protection. I'm still researching the best backup solution and comparing a few from your show, along with replacing their existing firewall. Now, I don't know if you mean by firewall as far as their router, their UTM, Unified Threat Management device, or if you're talking about the, you know, actual, like a software firewall. So, let's see, goes on here. I don't know the security posture of their network as of yet until I go back and conduct further investigation. So with that said, what's your thoughts on a UTM solution? Huh. Something such as Sophos SG UTM? Any you recommend? I'm looking for a good solution that can also scan for vulnerabilities while keeping them PCI compliant and safe. My apologies for a little bit of the too many questions, maybe, but thought I'd throw this one out there and for feedback. Thanks so much for all you guys do. You rock, Ed. Appreciate the nice email, Ed. And no, hey, this is what this show runs on. You all asking us questions so we can pretend like we know what we're saying and like we know what we're doing. No, hopefully give you something that at least somewhere to look and somewhere to guide you in that direction. Again, we learn things from other people all the time. So, Brad, UTM devices that you're using right now, any?
So I'm going to talk because it wouldn't be a very interesting show if I did the shoulder shrug. If this is the kind of situation you're going to find yourself in, I recommend not to plug another show, but Podnuts Pro is a great show to listen to. And they're entertaining. So Marvin's a Sonic Wall guy. And Matt Rainey is a WatchGuard, AKA Watchdog guy. So, you know, you can't go wrong with either of those two. If you don't, we have one Sonic Wall. I'm not a Sonic Wall guru. They all kind of, there's a lot of similarities, but there's when you actually get into the details of how to do something like a port forward or set up a WAN thing, the terminologies on the page are a little different. They call them different things and stuff. So if you're going to pick one, that's kind of why I haven't really picked one yet. Another option you could do would be to get Ubiquiti Edge Router, and it's not a firewall and aside from it, just that it's a NAT router, but it is very capable and it has VPN capability, which means that you can go through a system like My Digital Shield, which will sort of be like your managed outsourced firewall UTM. So those are kind of the three. And I am trying to get all my customers to get on some kind of a UTM. Most of them have just got a firewall. They've got just a router, basically, because they're mostly smaller and they don't want to pay extra. When you get into any of those, all of those things, you're talking $300 to $600 purchase price plus a multi-$100 a year subscription, which is where most customers go, well, do I really need that? Because that's a lot of money. And at which point I go, well, you should.
exactly what you said about My Digital Shield. You can also use it through the Arachnus products, through IL-8. Those work very well, from my understanding. It all depends on what you need. And again, there's going to be different needs depending on the size shop. Should every shop have one? Absolutely. Is it 100% going to be needed? Well, again, like John Dubinsky would say, if you can do something to make your job easier, then it's well worth the money they're going to spend in order to make your job easier. Because again, they're up and running, and that's exactly what they want. They want to be up and running with little to no hiccups. The thing with a regular firewall or a router is there's not a whole lot you can do. There are things you can do in there, especially the business class routers. Now, the one thing I would steer 100% of the people away from is using some sort of cheap non-business router. And all of the non-business routers absolutely are 100% cheap. I don't care what anybody says, they're all cheap. So you want to have something that's going to be able to, that you can go in and have more control. And it's complicated enough so that the user really doesn't want to go in and mess with anything. And if they do hard reset it or something like that, hey, you've backed the firmware file up and you can go back in there and reload it and call it a day. So make it real simple. And the other thing too would be whatever you use, and we talked about this before, stick with that one product and learn it inside and out. Know your product, sell it, you'll be comfortable with it. Don't just go in there and go, hey, here's the cheapest flavor of the month, but I don't really know how to support it. We'll figure it out along the way. It's only time and money. And apparently I don't really care about money, but I'll give you all my time. All right, Kurt, what about you? Any UTM that you support, or any, you know, firewalls that you're doing for people, even on the residential side, just using a regular router?
Yeah, right now I'm just using a basic router. I kind of like the idea that you've been talking about with this Arachnus. You know, I want to look into that sometime. That's going to be more for me when I do my business. But right now, the company that owns this one has me sell just the Linksys basic ones. So, but anything else above that, no. I mean, here in the shop, we have a WatchGuard that we use for the firewall in the business here. That's what they prefer. That's what they sell. That's what they resell. So, you know, I don't really understand any of that stuff. You know, when I look at the innards, you know, looking at all the setups, to me, it's just hieroglyphics. I don't understand it. So, but, you know, eventually I'll get to a point where I'll find one that I want to use just for residential, because I think it'd be a really good idea to have something like that. And you spoke highly of Arachnus, so I've been looking into that one more.
Yeah, I like the Arachnus products just from the standpoint of their solid products. I literally think I could run over these devices with my car. Don't try it. Don't try this at home. But I think I could run over these devices and they would work perfectly fine. They're solid. Basically, I have them set up to reset themselves Sunday night at 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever it is. And they're all sequenced. So even I've probably got $1,000 worth of network gear in here that I absolutely probably really don't need. But it's one of those things where you eat your own dog food, use your own stuff, understand how you're going to do VPN, how you can set up these, you know, separate sub networks so that when you're plugging customers' computers into, they're separated from your main network. You don't want things jumping across and infecting your main computers, especially if you're working out of your house. You know, again, it's just one of those things that, hey, take a little bit of time and effort. And Arachnus has a great not for resale program. So I encourage everybody, you can get a pretty sizable discount. And their stuff's not real expensive. It's on par with everybody else's. And you can get their stuff for not for resale, get it at a discount that you can use and understand it. And you can also, I think it's a 60-day money-back guarantee or something like that. Go check their website for all that information. But great people over there. If you want to talk to them, you can definitely talk, you know, call them and talk to them. And they'll have, you know, they can walk you through whatever your questions are. So I like the products myself. Again, it's just, there's all kinds of products out there, but this is the one I'm going to pick that I'm going to use for my small business clients and probably even residential, because taking at least the router the way it is is 100 times better than the Linksys router that I might have. And if I'm, you know, especially if you're not using like a UTM or something like that in a residential home, which, you know, I use OpenDNS for my home places, my own home here. And quite honestly, that is why, because a lot of people look at me and go, well, no, you know, you have good surfing habits. You don't go to where you don't need to go. You don't understand. I've had 5 kids that have had their own computers and go and watch gaming videos. And, you know, some of these websites are not 100% great. I've had servers with Minecraft files that absolutely were infected. And guess what? Still to this day, since 19, well, I take that back. The last time I got a virus was in 2000. And it was a Microsoft Messenger message that a buddy of mine, back then we used to use Microsoft Messenger, back then a buddy of mine had sent me, or so I thought, a picture, said, hey, here, check out my new car. Not thinking anything of it, I clicked on the link, and therefore my Windows 98 computer basically, yeah, it was messed up. So I had to go back in and reinstall everything and do all that kind of stuff, which back then I enjoyed doing that. Not so much anymore. Not for me personally, anyways. I don't mind doing it on other people's machines because it doesn't inconvenience me, but I just want to use my machine all the time. So that's the last time I've ever been affected. Now, a lot of people out there, I know, there's naysayers, and they'll go, well, how do you know? Because I run the same diagnostic programs on my computers that you do, people. That's how I know. And guess what? Here's what we have. Zero. Nothing. Nada. Every once in a while, on my kids' computers, I might get maybe a little bit of a browser redirect or something for a search engine, but most of the stuff, the way I have my network set up, most of the stuff is squashed right from the beginning. And that takes me literally 5 minutes to fix those problems. It's usually a, you know, Internet Explorer reset and, you know, run a quick scan with something. Not a big deal. So anyways, those things actually do work in the home environment. But I like most of my routers over the years, for whatever reason, I've had to, usually at about, I don't understand why this is, usually at about year 4, I deal with the router for about a whole nother year. And I used to be really bad with this, where every once in a while I'd have to reset it. And that would fix the problem for a couple weeks. And I'd reset it. And then it would be, get to be resetting it every couple days. And then all of a sudden, then I would just get to the point where I'm going to buy another router. And I'd go out and I'd spend $200, $300 for a router. And it would still only last me 4 years, 5 years at the most. Usually 4 years with problems for a year. Doesn't make any sense. Now, if I have a hiccup in any of my personal computer systems or anything on its network, I just unplug it, buy a new one, and throw it out because it's just not worth me trying to deal with it. So, but hopefully, what I'm hoping is long-term, I think the business stuff is going to last longer. Just the way it's made, it's a little more solid. I think they put a little more care into it. You've got different fans and things that run in some of this stuff where it's actually keeps the systems cool and just does its job. Plus, everything's kind of a little separated with the switches and routers and this, that, and the other. So it's not all in one box. My Wi-Fi is separate. That's a big, that thing creates a ton of heat. So anyways. All right. Well, I think we've gone well over. We have other emails, but we will get to those next week. So I'll tell you what, Kurt, why don't you give us one parting thought and let people know where they can find you, or, you know, ask you a couple questions or whatever.
Okay. So you can find me at Kurt at MN for Minnesota. PCDoctor.com for now. otherwise, yeah, I'm guessing from what I'm taking away from this today about stress and everything is, you know, breathe, you know, exercise a little bit. That kind of helps me out a little bit. I do a little bit of yoga. Sounds sissy, but it actually makes a world of difference. But yeah, just kind of take it one day at a time. That's where I'm trying to go at it right now. It's just one day at a time. And not try to worry too much about the future and just kind of take it as it comes. So,
hey, let me just say one thing to that yoga. I dare any man out there to actually do a yoga workout. And I'm going to tell you right now, that made me cry more like a little girl, I'm sorry, than any strength workout I've ever done in my entire life. I can't believe the muscles you have to do yoga properly. So, no, if you go out there and you actually do yoga, that's tough. I don't know how, males, females, whatever, but that takes a lot of muscle, a lot of strength to be able to do that stuff properly. It's not about flexibility. It has nothing to do with that. So, anyways, I mean, it is about flexibility somewhat, but actually, if you understand the science of flexibility, this is getting a whole other subject. It actually comes from actually having muscles is why you're able to flex, and I've got books and stuff on it, but whatever. Anyway, so with that being said, oh my gosh. Let's see, where were we at here? Okay, so let's go to Brad. Brad, if you have one parting thought for our audience and let people know where they can find you and get in contact with you, that'd be great.
Yeah, just namaste, everyone. I think we covered it pretty well. Just, you know, you gotta relax, breathe. I actually do some informal meditation sometimes, you know, just to keep your mind in the present and not straying off into the weeds where the stress starts to creep in. And other than that, if you guys want to get a hold of me, I'm brad@ttcscomputerservices.com on Google+ or on my website.
Awesome. Appreciate it. And I'll tell you what, if a customer is sitting there stressing you out, one of the things that you can do is you can stop, you can shut your eyes and just start counting to 10. And here's my rule of thumb. If you act crazy every once in a while, people tend to leave you alone. And that's worked for well over 30 years for me. So just remember that. Hey, I'm just calming myself down right now. They're not going to know what to do with that, I guarantee you. And 9 times out of 10, they are going to walk in the other direction. This person's nuts. Anyways, all right. Come join us live for the Computer Repair Podcast every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern over at podnuts.com/Computer Repair Podcast Live, where we have a ton of fun. Join in on the conversation by calling in live and hanging out in the chat room. You can also send an email to podnuts@podnuts.com, or you can leave a voicemail and we'll play it right on the air at 1-888-697-0162. Consequently, that is the same call-in number that you can use live during the show, during this last section. We have audio available over at podnuts.com, or subscribe using your favorite podcatcher. You can be notified when the show is live by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Computer Repair Podcast. I want to thank everyone for listening and subscribing to the show. We'll see you next time on Podnuts, the Computer Repair Podcast.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.